Sun Choir. We appreciate your ministry. That was great. Thank God for each one of you that have been involved in the music ministry this year. It's certainly moved on to the next level. And may God bless you in being a part of that. And appreciate Brother Jason, your leadership, Brother Wilson, and each one of you, Sister Felicia, coordinating the special items. And it's been wonderful. So thank you very much to each one that has given and gone the extra mile within the music ministry. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel once again, chapter 24. This morning we noted the fact that there are difficulties in warfare, and we continue our focus upon the event of Saul endeavoring to kill David. And we noted this morning that concerning one of the difficulties of spiritual warfare is the fact that often we witness the prosperity of the enemy. Saul defeated the Philistines, and with that he no doubt grew in confidence and courage to continue to pursue young David. So often we witness the prosperity of the enemy, but rest assured God is just, and the judge of all the earth will do right. And also we noted this morning concerning the perplexity surrounding the enemy. Sometimes it's puzzling to work out the motives and the activities of those that are attacking us, those involved within our current battle. And certainly Saul was a confusing sight, and with actions that were confusing, perplexing, and sometimes that is just part of warfare. It's difficult to fully grasp the methods and the way that things are happening. And we often cry out, Lord, why is this happening to me? And often we'll make statements like, Lord, this isn't fair. It just doesn't make sense. I don't deserve this. And so there is perplexity. There's often a darkness when it comes to you and I going through difficulties, and certainly Saul was a mess spiritually, and he had such great misunderstanding. In all that, we noted the fact that we as God's people need to stand fast and not faint, and to spend time with the Lord and be renewed day by day. This evening, I'd like to look at another difficulty within the battle that we are in, within spiritual warfare. And it concerns the principle of temptation. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 3 to 7, it reads, And he came to the sheep coats by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt, or a portion of his garment, of Saul's robe privily, without him even realizing it. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So
So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered or allowed them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would teach us from your eternal word. We bless you and praise you that we have within our possession the word of God. And yes, the Bible does stand. May we love it. May we live by it. And as we continue to study the life of this great man of God, David, I pray that you would teach us how we can resist the temptations that are often present in the midst of spiritual warfare. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The difficulty of prosperity of those that are opposing the work of God, the perplexity in warfare, confusion, the misunderstanding, and the fleshly responses of those that are not walking in the power of the Spirit in the midst of warfare is often difficult to digest. Thirdly, this evening, concerning the third difficulty of spiritual warfare that we need to be prepared for and resist is the placement of temptation. The placement of temptation. Temptation in the midst of spiritual warfare. With the king's return to pursue David, an opportunity arose for David to kill King Saul at an unguarded moment. While Saul was in a cave visiting the restroom, and I get the feeling that he not only visited the restroom, he also had a little bit of a nap. Because the Bible teaches he arose up, and that's when part of his garment was sliced off. And during this little golden opportunity, David is faced with the temptation to kill Saul. Temptations are before us all. The Bible teaches us in the book of James concerning the process of temptation. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, the Bible reads, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Temptation, we become a victim of temptation when you and I yield to the appetites of the flesh, which is called lust. And we are attracted or we are drawn by that lust that temptation has placed before us. In warfare, in spiritual warfare, we need to be careful lest we become a victim in the battle. A victim, one that yields to temptation. See, when you and I are in the heat of the moment, and when you and I are experiencing a measure of difficulty, the devil is very clever and on the spot. And he will wave a possibility or a way out for you that might not harmonize with God and his will, but yet it is in the present, and often it can be very tempting to take that way out. This was a real temptation that David had. The temptation was to kill the king. And so many are victims of temptation. because they fail to resist the pressure within. And my friend, may I encourage you, when you are going through a difficulty, be careful lest you and I become a victim of temptation. The devil very cleverly and subtly might just wave a temptation before you that might be hard to resist. How did David resist this temptation to kill King Saul? It was a real temptation. I'd like for us to note first and foremost, he could have wrongly interpreted this opportunity as being from God. He could have wrongly interpreted this opportunity as being from God. Now, within the wilderness of Engedi, this area was filled with many caves. And King Saul enters the very cave. Many of these caves were very large and a great place to hide. Children, a great place to play hide and seek. Would have been within the valley of Engedi, because there were lots of caves. And many of these caves were very large. And David found refuge within a particular cave that was large enough to hold 600 men. So there is David hiding in this one of countless caves throughout the wilderness of Engedi, and of all the caves for Saul to visit, the same cave. The very cave in which David and his 600 men are located in. The Bible teaches us that Saul is alone. The cave would have been very dark. Saul was defenseless. The circumstances pointed towards kill Saul. Kill Saul. What a golden opportunity. Here you are in the cave, David. You've got your 600 men. And of all the caves throughout the wilderness of Engedi, Saul, on his own, enters this dark, black cave that is so dark that one could not even see their hand before one's very eyes. What an opportunity. For a moment, Saul is not thinking sharply. He's like a sheep heading towards the slaughterhouse, unawares. He doesn't see danger within. For whatever reason, he decides to let down his guard. And he enters this cave to relieve himself, and it's the very cave that David and his 600 men are hiding in. And the lesson for you and I this evening, brethren, is that when we find ourselves in difficult situations, be careful that you and I, that we do not misinterpret the opportunities before us. See, David could have interpreted this opportunity as the will of God to kill King Saul. He could have reasoned within his mind, well, there are all these caves throughout the wilderness of Engedi, and here we are in this cave, and wow, God has brought my enemy to us. He's on his own, defenseless. Brethren, we need to interpret our circumstances through the lens of Scripture. If we are going to resist temptation. Because sometimes you and I can be guilty of not interpreting our opportunities from a biblical perspective. So David faced a real temptation, and the temptation was there. He could have wrongly interpreted the opportunity. So may God help us to be people of the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us in Psalm 19, verse 8, that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The Scriptures have the power to give direction. Yes, the Bible does stand. It is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. And we have it in our very presence within the King James Version. And may we be people of the Word of God. May we be people that stay in the book. Because one of the great benefits of the all-sufficient Scriptures is to enable us, to give us insight concerning what is the will of God and what is not the will of God. Sometimes we can be guilty of misinterpreting our circumstances. Here I am in this cave with my men. Saul enters our cave. He has no idea that we are in this cave. Wow! God, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I can get rid of him once and for all while he's in the restroom. And may God help us to not misinterpret the opportunities before us, because the devil likewise provides opportunities. Consider the life of the Lord Jesus there in Matthew chapter 4. Where the devil said, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Temptation is real, and sometimes the devil will wave something that's appealing before you, and you and I need to interpret that opportunity through the lens of Scripture. Secondly, this evening, concerning David's temptation, he could have focused on the advantages of killing Saul. So firstly, he could have misinterpreted the opportunity. That is, God has delivered Saul into my hands. That's how his men responded to David. There in verse number 4, they said, behold, the day will come that God will deliver Saul, your enemy, into your hand. And it's interesting that David's men called Saul an enemy. We don't read that David ever called him an enemy. Interesting, isn't it? And it's of interest to me that the men said to David, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as thou shalt seem good unto thee. The men didn't say, kill him. I believe there was a measure of conscience active in their hearts. But no doubt David understood exactly what these men were conveying. And with that temptation, David could have misinterpreted the situation and killed the king. Secondly, David could have focused on the advantages of killing the king right here and then. There were many of them. For example, a change in position. If David had just killed Saul at that point, David would have been king immediately. Immediately. There would have been a change not only in position, there would have been a change in his dwelling. No longer hiding in caves, running for his dear life. He could well, within 24 hours, be living in royal comfort and luxury. Another advantage that David could have focused upon if he was to kill Saul right there and then was a change for peace and tranquility. no longer hunted, no longer living under the pressure of being killed. He also could have focused upon the advantage of a change in possessions. The wealth of the kingdom was at his taking. I would guess that David has very little with him. He's running for his dear life. All he has is the baggage of 600 men, the halt, lame, and the blind. But if he is to kill this king, he automatically can become king because he's been anointed the new king. Israel knows that. Those 3,000 choice men that were serving under Saul, they understood that, but their loyalty cleaved them to King Saul. But if Saul was to be struck down, immediately those men would go over to David. David knew that. The advantage of fame, his popularity would increase just like that. Automatically, he had the potential of having 3,600 fans. Not just 600 fans. He could have also focused upon the advantage of improved rule in the land. Saul was not a good king at this time. He was hopeless, as we would say. If David was to kill Saul, he could have reinstituted rest in the land, because while Saul is consumed with killing David, the Philistines are constantly attacking God's people. In other words, David's men here in verse number 4 said to David, David, this is a golden opportunity. God has opened up an opportunity before you to get ahead. This is the shortcut that you're looking for to the throne. And my friend, one of the greatest temptations in life is to take that quicker route in looking for that breakthrough. Often the flesh struggles in waiting. It wants fulfillment now at the most economical price. So David could have not only misinterpreted the situation, but David could have focused upon the advantage of just killing Saul right there and then. It wouldn't have taken much. Saul had no idea that David was in that cave, and so were 600 men. And even though they were a combination of the halt, lame, and blind, I would dare say they all would have been qualified to fix Saul on the spot. So David could have focused upon the advantages. And brethren, may I challenge you this evening that we as God's people, as we go through the trials of life, as we battle on in this spiritual warfare before us, be careful lest you and I focus upon the advantages, the possible advantages before us. Possibly all of these thoughts went through David's mind. Oh, position and dwelling and peace and fame, and I better help my family and God's people. We better off because they'll have a king once again. He could have focused upon all of these advantages if he was to take this shortcut. You know, I've learned over the years that many so-called shortcuts are really not shortcuts. You notice that? Especially driving through the streets of Sydney. We're all looking for a shortcut, and often people will share a shortcut with you, and haven't you found, like I have, that often it's not really a shortcut, it just takes just as long, if not longer. The truth of the matter is, there might be some shortcuts out there, but when it comes to serving and honoring the Lord, there are no shortcuts. It's really a misnomer. There are no shortcuts. Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. And David understood, he knew full well that he was destined to be the next king of Israel. But here he finds himself in a situation where he can take a direct route to the throne, just like that. Let me encourage you, young people. Let me encourage you, children. Let me encourage you, teenagers, young adults, singles. Don't look for shortcuts when it comes to the issue of a lasting relationship. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. And you wait and you maintain moral purity until God brings Mr. and Mrs. Right into your life. Because the devil will try to wave before you a shortcut to fulfillment. There are no shortcuts. If you lose your virginity, you will bring heartache and pain into your life and the very one that you will one day marry by the grace of God, if you ever do. There are no shortcuts. It pays to wait on God. And David was tempted to take advantage of this situation. And teenager, let me encourage you, young adult, let me encourage you, don't take advantage of situations that might affect your life forever and a day. There are no shortcuts. Be careful of looking at the pros versus the cons. Pros and cons can be helpful sometimes. Sometimes. But don't place God's perfect will upon the fact of pros and cons. That's not wise. Pros and cons can be helpful. God can use pros and cons. At the end of the day, we need to seek the will of God. So the issue of misinterpreting the situation can lead to a fall, yielding to temptation. The issue of taking advantage of a possible shortcut can also lead to yielding to temptation. And thirdly this evening, peer pressure can also be a means by which we yield to temptation. See, David understood the opportunity that was before him, but he also had 600 men that said, David, kill him, kill him, kill him. Go ahead, take advantage of the situation. And I want you to consider the peer pressure that David must have been under, not only personally, he alone, before King Saul, but he also had 600 men saying, get him. God's opened up the opportunity. Are you a blind bat or what? Don't you see? He's right here. And he's not ready to battle. He's not ready to battle. His mind is elsewhere. Don't you see the opportunity before you? And David has the 600 men. The press of 600 men say, get him, David. Get him, David. The opportunity is before you. And sometimes you and I can be guilty of yielding to temptation because we listen to the voices around us. These men perverted the promises of God. They distorted the promises of God. They placed their own interpretations upon the promises of God. And they said, hey, David, God has delivered Saul into your hand. And my friend, within the spiritual warfare that we are in, may God help us to resist the pressure from those around us. I don't believe these men meant any ill towards David. I believe they were on his side. They were loyal to him. They wanted the best for David, but they just misinterpreted God's will by the circumstances that they were in. How did David resist this great temptation to kill King Saul? He could have misinterpreted the situation and killed the king. He could have focused upon the advantages of killing the king and done so. He could have yielded to the pressure of those 600 men. How did he resist? Well, the Bible teaches us in verse number 5, he listened to his conscience. Look at verse number 5. It came to pass after that David's heart smote him. He listened to his conscience. His conscience was pricked. In the dark, he was able to approach Saul. And I would guess during that moment of having a little siesta, he decided to have a swipe at Saul. Now bear in mind, David was a very skillful man of God. He was a skillful warrior. And he cuts off a portion of Saul's garment. Now I don't believe he missed Saul. I don't believe that. But something within him was telling him, this isn't right, David. This isn't right. Don't listen to those voices. This isn't right. But for a moment, he yielded to temptation to a level and he just lashed out and sliced a bit of Saul's garment off. And immediately, the Bible teaches us, his conscience was struck. This deed brought great guilt upon David's heart. A soft conscience gets upset with the smallest of sins. And I'm so thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit who promises to lead us into truth. And I love Romans chapter 14, verse number 23, that teaches us, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And you know full well that I counsel God's people, if in doubt, don't. Let's say it together. If in doubt, don't. Because if you are a child of God that's walking under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and if you are truly living under God's guidance, then God will give you that peace. And God will give you that inner witness from within that you're doing right. But if there is a resistance, if there is an uneasiness, you're not sure, you've got doubts, Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, David's conscience was active. He listened to his conscience. And I don't know about you, there have been times that I have not listened to my conscience. And I wish I did. And there have been times that I have listened to my conscience and God has rewarded that. His conscience was pricked and David resisted this temptation by listening to the witness within. That witness that discerns right from wrong. And something within him, those 600 men said, kill him, kill him, kill him. God's given him into your hands. The inner witness that came from God said, it's not right, David. It's not right. And he was able to resist temptation because he listened to his conscience. May God help us to listen to our conscience. And secondly, verse number 6, David submitted to the Word of God. David knew the Bible. He understood what the Scriptures taught. And he understood that even though Saul was not living right, he was still the king of Israel. He was God's anointed. And he said then, verse number 6, to his 600 men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. See, David understood the Word of God. He submitted to the Word of God. He knew that it was wrong to hurt the man of God. This David lived a life of submission to the authority of the Word of God. Now, what about you? What about you? I'm afraid this is why many become victims of temptation, because they are no longer guided by the authority of the Word of God. And David, during the heat of the moment, under the pressure of the situation, listened to that conscience from within, and the Spirit of God, no doubt, brought to mind the Scriptures which demand a rightful respect towards those in authority. And he said, how can I possibly touch the King of Israel, the Lord's anointed? My friend, so often we become victims of temptations because we move away from the Word of God. We leave the Word of God in its place and we just shift. And we act upon our own feelings, circumstances, advantages. And the Word of God was once an authority, but for this situation we've moved away. And may God help us to be submissive to the Word of God. The Bible gives countless principles that will help us to resist temptation. Principles like make a covenant with our eyes not to look upon that which is wicked. Principles like flee youthful lust. Principles like don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The Bible is very clear, brethren. There are countless principles in the Bible that will protect us from becoming a victim of temptation. And the Word of God came to mind in the life of David. He said, I can't do this. Even though this man is a wretch, and he's making life miserable for not only me, but the whole kingdom, it's still not right to kill the King of Israel. That's not my responsibility. That's God's responsibility. And he chose to honor his master. He still called him master. What reverence, what respect. His deeds certainly weren't worth respecting, but this was still his King, his Lord. He submitted to the Word of God. He listened to his conscience. And last but not least, verse number 7, the Bible teaches us that David stayed his servants with these words. The word stayed there is a strong word. It conveys the idea of force. He literally had to force his men. He had to hold his men back. He was in their face. He stayed his men. It wasn't as if David just said, okay, fellas, we're not doing it. And they just submitted. No, they were pumped up. They were pumped up. They could see this is a golden opportunity. This is the road to glory. If David becomes king, we'll become his 600 men in luxury, in comfort. David will be a hero. We'll be heroes because we stuck with David. So they didn't want to let go. So David had to resist them. David had to stay them. David had to force them back and said, no, we're not killing the king. He held back his own men from killing King Saul. He wasn't lenient towards sin. He stood upon conviction. He stood upon the Scriptures. What a powerful example before these men. In other words, he took responsibility of this situation. He took responsibility for this situation. He understood that it all hinged upon him. And he took responsibility. And this empowered him. And brethren, may I submit to you, if we are to resist temptation, then we need to listen to the blessed conscience within, the Spirit of God working through our conscience and revealing to us what is right, what is wrong. David also submitted to the Scriptures, but also David took responsibility for this situation. And he said to these 600 men, he stood up and said, No! No, we're not going to kill my master. I know he's miserable. I know he's a wretch. I know all the above, but this is still the King of Israel, and God will deal with him. God didn't commission me to deal with him. So because he took responsibility of this situation, that strengthened him. That empowered him to resist temptation. And that's a good lesson for us all, is it not? I think so often we become victims of temptation because we just don't take responsibility. We shift the buck and we blame so-and-so and we say, oh, it's so-and-so's fault. She made me do it. He made me do it. It's their fault. No, you take responsibility of the situation. You bear the load. You make the decision. You choose, young people, I'm going to maintain purity. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to keep my life pure. I'm going to go to the marriage altar pure and clean. You take responsibility. Don't blame everybody else. You take responsibility for your purity. And if you will take responsibility for your situation, God will empower you to resist temptation. And when David stood up to these 600 men and he stayed them, he forced them back. Literally, I can imagine, he was just pushing them back into the corners of the cave. And no, we're not going to do it. We can't do this. This isn't right. It's not biblical to touch the man of God. We're not going to do it. And what do you think that did for David? That placed some power in his bones. That put some steel in his back. That I'm going to do right because it's right to do it. And this situation is in the palm of my hand. And I can choose to sin. I can choose to resist the temptation. We live in a filthy, rotten day. And we even have God's people that are just blaming so-and-so. Oh, pastor, there's wickedness here and there's wickedness there. And I realize that there is. But if you and I would just take responsibility, we'll be able to resist temptation. I know wickedness is all around us. David faced a difficult enemy. He was tempted to kill the king. What held him back? He listened to his conscience. He submitted to the word of God. He took responsibility of the situation. We live in a day in which people don't want to be responsible. They want to blame everybody else. When the devil tempted the Lord Jesus there in Matthew chapter 4, in verse number 9, the devil said to the Son of God, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The Lord Jesus took responsibility for the situation. He just chose to say no. He stood up to the temptation. We're all tempted, brethren. But it's up to you whether it's up to you and I as to whether we become a victim of temptation. May God help us to resist temptation, especially during times of testings. The devil might just wave before you a way out, a shortcut, an easier road. But you and I need to listen to the conscience. We need to submit to the word of God. And last but not least, we need to take responsibility. You take responsibility for your actions. And if you will take responsibility of your situation, God will empower you. God will put some steel in your back to stand up to the temptation that lies before you. May God add his blessing to his word this evening. Let's bow for prayer.